Welcome to Bespin Ice Cream Stand. My name is Josh O'Rourke, and with me as always, Execute Order 66, Bennett Campbell Ferguson.
It's good to be back. It's good to be wiping out the entire Jedi Order with a couple of clones who will be terrible marksmen one movie down the road. It feels awesome.
So as far as news goes today, again, not like a huge week, but I did listen to the Fall of Sith podcast a couple days ago, and they interviewed the composer of Star Wars The Bad Batch, and he mentioned that he had already done 14 episodes. So word on the street is there's going to be at least 14 episodes of The Bad Batch, though nobody's confirmed this otherwise.
Do you think... What's the guy's name?
Kevin Kiner or Kinner?
Okay, because I was wondering, because he's been a Star Wars guy going like way back, because I haven't seen the Clone Wars animated series. I actually, though, did see the Clone Wars movie, and he wrote the score for that, so I guess he's an old hand at this point.
Yeah, I suppose so. How did the music compare to, like, John Williams? Did it feel sort of similar?
You know, I only saw that movie once in theaters, and it was over 10 years ago now. But I gotta say, like, of the non-John Williams Star Wars music I've heard, and you can tell me your take on this, Josh, you've found differently, but I feel like generally non-Williams Star Wars music is pretty disappointing, with the exception of what Ludwig Göransson did on The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. because for me that was, you know, like paying homage to like old Star Wars and paying homage to Westerns and in general. But Ludwig Göransson is just such a weird composer. I mean, just the stuff he did on Black Panther and Tenet to me is so out of this world and kind of almost alien sounding that I felt like he couldn't help but bring a new distinctive flavor to it, you know, and aside from that, I still kind of feel like Williams is the only one who's really got it.
Well, yeah, and Williams is a little more like traditional, and you kind of know what to expect at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Mandalorian score, I mean, it's absolutely, he breaks the mold in the sense of using weirder instruments and stuff you haven't really heard in like a traditional, you know, symphony. So yeah, I really dug that as well.
Yeah, I think all of us are now, you know, going around humming do 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 do.
I think that's our new theme song.
It is. It really is.
I read that there's a show called Star Wars Detours that's been long rumored for over a decade. Mm. A website called The Vulcan Reporter reports that on May 4th it's coming out. But the problem is I don't trust the Vulcan Reporter. They're one of those sites that reports a lot of stuff and it's not always true.
Well, and also, I mean, Vulcan Reporter, you know, we're not doing Trekkie stuff over here, so.
Yeah, well, we know all Trekkers are liars, of course.
Of course.
But yeah, I think that's sort of the rumor mill. I saw it all over the place and other sites are reporting on it, but it all comes down to this Vulcan Reporter website that I don't think that I don't think they have journalistic integrity to the point that they're going to actually, put out 100% quality, as far as rumors go.
So I've heard the name Star Wars Detours bandied about quite a bit over the years. But I've never, like, heard what that show would actually be if it existed. I mean, have you heard what the premise would be? Like, what, like, period of Star Wars history it would be set in? Or,
you know what? No, I haven't. I just know that it's a CGI show. And I think it's been... George Lucas was even somewhat involved. This was back in, I think, 2008.
Okay.
And, you know, what, 4 years before they sold it to Disney. I don't know. I'm not really sure, like, how far it got. I see pictures on the internet of, like, goofy-looking Star Wars characters. There's Han and Lando. So I guess it's a parody of daily life in the Star Wars galaxy between Episode 3 and Episode 4.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
And it's got kind of a goofy style, kind of like a goofy Star Wars Clone Wars or Rebels.
Okay.
But it's more of a comedy about, like, regular people in the Star Wars universe. And it says, like, just their everyday problems, which involves, you know, Ewoks and Sith Lords and, you know, bounty hunters and such.
It does seem like a funny time, like, for there to be a Star Wars comedy. I mean, like the idea of, like, what's the joke? Ha ha, all the Jedi that got slaughtered and the Republic is no more. Like, I always kind of thought that the prime sort of era for comedy would be, you know, any time before Revenge of the Sith, like when the Republic is at the height of its decadence. Like, I always had this, like, weird idea as a kid that I wanted to see a movie called the Jedi Party, which would be the Jedi, you know, throwing some kind of, like, fundraiser to, you know, help fight the Clone Wars. And it would be, like, this big bash on Coruscant, and you'd have, like, Yoda a bake dancing. Sale. Yeah. Maybe Mace Windu would be sulking in the corner because, you know, he's too much of a badass to join the festivities, you know.
That sounds like some good fan fiction. Also, yeah, I feel like somebody must have done that by now.
Yeah, I may yet actually write that, so we'll see.
Yeah, let's see it, man. Let's see it. the last news I read about was the Obi-Wan series set was leaked on TikTok.
Ooh.
Somebody posted, like, a 1-minute video of this set on what looks like Tatooine. And I encourage you to go check it out. It's nothing crazy exciting, but it looks like classic, like, episode 4 Tatooine buildings. I gotta say, it gets me hyped for the show, but I don't really know if it really revealed anything. A lot of people are speculating that the TikTok leak is sort of somebody from Disney, because it doesn't really reveal anything, but it still gets people excited about the show.
Yeah, you have to wonder, how much of the, you know, this stuff is, like, part of some, you know, corporate strategy. I guess, like, I mean, we'll, as we, you know, talked about on another podcast, you know, these rumors, for instance, that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are going to be in the next Spider-Man movie. Like, the other day I had a revelation where I was like, wait a second, even regardless of whether or not those rumors are true, Marvel and Disney totally started them, because it gives people a reason to talk about that movie for months on end, which they want, you know, to build up momentum.
Oh, and it's so clever, too, just having people and podcasts and people on, you know, Reddit's on the Star Wars Leak subreddit talking about something. And even if it's fake, it still gets people churning the machine, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, like how deep do you think, like, this kind of strategizing goes? Because there's the one school of thought that says that, you know, Lucasfilm really has a hard time predicting how people are going to react to certain things. But then there's the other school of thought that says, you know, Lucasfilm is a really airtight ship. They know what they're doing. And, you know, even with a film like The Last Jedi, where, you know, they couldn't have anticipated a lot of the response, they probably, you know, did a lot of these controversial things knowing that they would create conversation and keep people talking about Star Wars, as opposed to, you know, being like, you know, what? You know, we didn't know people didn't want to see Kylo Ren with his shirt off.
I think that it's a very well-oiled machine, and I think that a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff is stuff we wouldn't even consider. But you'd be foolish to not think that they have social media people that are, you know, infiltrating these fan sites or, you know, quote-unquote leaking stuff. I mean, why wouldn't you? Especially when there's, like, no news right now. There's no trailers or posters or any, like, really big thing being announced right now. So yeah. I think they sprinkle in little nuggets to get people excited.
Yeah.
And it works.
Well, it's kind of, I feel like for us as fans, we're in this weird sort of limbo where there's tons of Star Wars content. There's all these new shows being announced. We've had multiple movies announced. And yet, like, I still have this feeling of like we're in a holding pattern of sorts, because the next movie is going to be Rogue Squadron. But as far as we can tell, that's just a one-off. You know, that's going to be like a Rogue One type film, a one-and-done deal. And then, well, what comes after that? Is it Taika Waititi's movie? And if so, is that going to be a one-and-done thing? Or is that going to be the start of a trilogy? Or, you know, for all we know, a longer series? Like, I feel like we're all kind of like waiting to see what the next decade or so of Star Wars is going to look like. And I mean, speaking for myself, I'm gratified that, you know, we get to see the Book of Boba Fett, because God, you know, the 10-year-old inside me is just so pumped for that. But then again, like, I'm kind of like craving that classic experience of, you know, like getting excited about a trilogy and, you know, continuing characters on the big screen. And we don't know what any of that's gonna be, or even when we'll see something like that again.
Well, I mean, I don't think Disney really knows either, because I think they had their 10-year plan until the movies sort of flopped, particularly Solo. So I think, particularly with the movies, it's sort of a wait and see approach. Let's start getting these movies in pre-production, and let's see if the hype is there or not, or if maybe the TV shows are where they're pivoting to, and maybe that gets people hyped up enough that they want to see a new trilogy in 5-10 years, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think they have like a grand master plan right now, at least not like Marvel.
I think you might be right, because I mean, you look at the Rise of Skywalker, and I think what really hurt that movie was just a general lack of excitement. You know, it didn't feel like an event, whereas The Mandalorian, I don't know, it just, I mean, I think you talked about this before, Josh, like, you know, hearing people at work, you know, talking about it, and it has that zeitgeisty vibe, and yeah. Even when we're all, you know, quarantined or semi-quarantined, like, The Mandalorian still feels at least like the topic around the metaphorical water cooler.
No, definitely, like, people who don't like Star Wars, or at least aren't, like, super crazy fans that like listen to Star Wars podcasts are talking about it, and that's a huge deal.
Yeah,
it's something that you can't ignore. You know, the fact that it's beyond Star Wars now, it's just good TV. Well, we're in like kind of a cool eye of the storm right now as far as podcast releases. We just did our Empire Strikes Back episode last week. We have Return of the Jedi coming up in 1 week from now. And I realize, like, I think listening back to the Empire Strikes Back episode and hearing us sort of gush about how great it was, like, I kind of forget what it is about Star Wars I love sometimes. And hearing that, I was like, oh, yeah, there are things about Star Wars I still like. I don't have to, you know, just shit on it because it's an animated series I don't want to watch, or, you know, a one-off movie that I'm not into. But, yeah, I was trying to think, what did we not talk about on Empire? Because I know we skipped so much stuff.
Oh, well, I'll tell you. I mean, we definitely went kind of light on the Cloud City duel, which, yeah. I mean, we said in the podcast, you know, it's a testament to how great the film is that we, you know, we kind of danced around the best thing in it.
Yep.
But then also, I feel like we didn't talk hardly at all about Han being put in the carbon freezing chamber.
No, you're right. I think we sort of skipped the whole like last act, other than like the big moment, you know, the I am your father kind of stuff.
Since I think, you know, the carbon freezing was what we talked about the least. You know, I don't want to say too much, because I'm sure like when we cycle back through the movies, we'll have ample time to really dig deep. But I remember reading Star Wars Insider as a kid, and they had Han being put in carbon freeze as on their list as the second best moment in the entire trilogy after I Am Your Father. And I think my ranking would be a bit different, but at the same time, I understand and appreciate that ranking, because the more I think about it, that was it's just such a radical moment. And don't know, I continue to be just so moved by, like, how that scene is played. I mean, there's something so poignant about, you know, seeing, you know, Harrison Ford, you know, say, you know, Chewie, there'll be another time. And even just like little things, like that moment when he's being, you know, lowered into the chamber, and he kind of like smiles at Leia and Chewie, like almost like he's like trying to put on a brave face for them, and yet you can tell like that it's hard for him. You can tell that he really is afraid, and he's just trying to appear, you know, strong for the sake of his friends. And I don't know. I mean, that moment for me, you know, brings home so much of the humanity of Star Wars. And I think a lot of that is, you know, kind of specific to Empire, because as is pretty well established by now, you know, Irvin Kershner was very good with the actors, and, you know, especially he had a really good relationship with Harrison Ford. So a lot of that's down to that. But I mean, you know, I think a lot of it was, what it comes down to is, I mean, that's all of Star Wars right there, or at least all of good Star Wars. That's why we care, you know, why, you know, we can blubber decades later about a fictional character, you know, being frozen in a giant rectangle via some bullshit science. You know, it's we care because it's, you know, Han, and he's a, you know, a well-developed moving character with a journey.
Yeah, and there's so much going on with the scene too, you know, I love you, I know, Han sort of smiling, and then right when he gets, you know, frozen, that like sort of look of absolute anguish. It's such a great like 30 seconds of cinema.
Yeah, I mean, even just the fact of that iconic pose with his hands up, and like almost like he's trying to block the vapor or the steam or whatever. I don't know. It's just such a vulnerable position for him, and that's, you know, that's kind of a striking thing. And it actually reminds me of something J.J. Abrams said, where he talked about how Star Wars has this history of kind of penetrating gender roles and kind of, you know, breaking them down, and that we would often in Star Wars like see men in like very vulnerable positions and see, you know, women, whether that be Leia or, you know, Rey more recently, and very like kind of like strong positions in the story. And that's you know, I mean, we can always talk about how, you know, the films could have gone further in that regard, but I still think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they went pretty far, and I think there's something special about that.
I agree. I can't add anything else. I think you said it best. Well, I think that's going to be it for us. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that sums it up. Yeah, I'm just excited for people to hear our Return of the Jedi podcast next week. I think that was a great discussion. And down the line, I'm excited to talk about more the time period between Empire and Jedi, because that's kind of an underrated period in Star Wars history. And I think we'll be doing a deep dive down the road.
Oh, for sure. It's so rich. And, you know, obviously there are stories being told between there, whether it's Shadows or whatever. But yeah, I really look forward to that. I just started reading Shadows of the Empire, the book, since I can't get past that IG-88 level on the Nintendo 64 game. So I had to continue the story somehow.
I love it. I'm into it.
Well, that's it for us today. You can find me on Twitter at IamJoshO85. Ben is at THOBennett with two N's and two T's. And THOMovieReview.wordpress.com. You can also catch Ben on his Spidey Scenes podcast. And we'll be doing one in a couple weeks about the Great Crane sequence, Stanley's cameo, James Franco's amazing performance. Just kidding. I love it. I love it. Anyway,
so much to talk
catch
about. Catch
that at the Spidey Scenes podcast. Until next time, the Force will be with you. Always.